Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. The lovely news lady is away, taking a much-needed vacation, so you just got me. And our super fabulous guest tonight actually is Michael Lucas. He's an adult film star, writer, director, activist, and CEO of Lucas Entertainment, one of the world's most successful adult gay film sites. And he has produced a fantastic documentary called Campaign of Hate, Russia and Gay Propaganda. And he's joining us tonight to go ahead and talk about how he got into the business and how what is going on in Russia is so very, very, I'm going to go with wrong here, but that's just me. However, we're going to start with a little bit of music. This is Drew Stevens with Stay With Me. Back with Michael Lucas when we get back. Joining us now is something, I think Michael Lucas would have said that in a few of his films, Stay With Me, but joining us now is CEO of Lucas Entertainment, Michael Lucas joins us tonight. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, sorry I'm a little late, I think.
Not a problem. How did your root canal go yesterday?
Are you following me on Instagram? Michael Lucas NYC. It was good. It was easy, actually.
Well, that's good. You look like you were in pain there.
Well, it was unpleasant. It's never pleasant when someone is working in your mouth with Well, you know.
I absolutely understand.
All right.
Michael, I just want to go ahead and say I'm a big fan of your work. I'm familiar with your work. I feel very comfortable with you because I've seen a lot of you for some reason. But let's start off.
Gay and horny. I don't know. Maybe that.
That's exactly what I am most of the time.
But thank God for people like you. That's how I make my living.
You built your empire on it, absolutely. Tell me, Michael, born in Moscow to an engineer and a Russian literature teacher, you achieved a degree in law from Moscow State Law Academy. How did a good Jewish boy end up becoming the biggest adult film star, owning the biggest adult film company?
Hey, not all Jewish boys are good. I'm proving it. Not all the Jewish boys are nice. Nice Jewish boy. Not all Jewish boys are nice. Well, look. I was always very responsible. I was always very disciplined, and I did never waste my money. I didn't ever drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't try drugs. I never did any of that. So I was just very dedicated and concentrated to my work. I think you either do your work well or you do go and do something else. Mm-hmm. So I did everything I ever did very well. And I'm good with business.
How did you first get into the adult industry, though? I know you were working with Jean-Daniel Cadenot for a while.
Yeah, I went to Europe and I didn't have work permits and I didn't have money, so adult industry seemed to me back then as an easy way to make money, and actually the only possible way to make money in Europe. It was very difficult to get a job without work permit, but and without language. I didn't speak German, so that's why, and I never regretted that.
Yeah. I think the first time I saw you in print was actually in Men Magazine back in 97. And that was under the time that you were going under Michelle Lucas. And it was very, very interesting because I think in the first interview, which I actually did read the interviews, that you were actually at that age already trying to get out of it and start your own company. What year did you start up Lucas Entertainment?
1998.
Well, and I will have to say that Lucas Entertainment produces some of the most, I call it classy porn, because, you know, the sets are always, there's always a story, the sets are always well shot up, you dress well, you know, it's not your dime store back room adult film, which I do thank you for.
I think that my porn is not classy, I think it's dirty and nasty.
Parts of it
I
can certainly get like that.
Good, because that's what I'm striving for, certainly, you know?
Yeah. Well, you certainly succeed with that. A bit about your documentaries and stuff that you have. I know you have a new one coming out, but first I want to talk about Undressing Israel.
They're not dirty. They're good.
They're very good.
In a good way. Yeah.
Yeah. Undressing Israel was a really good one because you really showed the positive side to the GLBT community in Israel.
Yes. Well, it was easy to do because there is only positive side to Israeli LGBT community. There is no negative side to it. Israel has many different problems, but this is not one. Israeli gay people are living a really good life. And Tel Aviv is becoming, well, it already did become one of the best most desirable gay destinations, gay travel destinations. It says everyone speaks English, nightlife is fantastic, restaurants are amazing from all over the world. There's so much to see and so many places to travel in Israel. The weather is always great. It's just always a very, it's just so many things in one. It's so, you know, there is a beach everywhere. There's the Red Sea, Mediterranean Sea, there is the Dead Sea, there's the Sea of Galilee, just there's Golan Heights and Haifa, and I mean Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, which is, you know, just so amazing to see. And everything is very close to each other. Everything is you can see all the countries just driving by car within, you know, several days. But of course, it's so rich in history that several days is never enough. So you can always come back and discover more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Quite a change from the current Russian situation and everything. Your new documentary, Campaign of Hate, Russia and Gay Propaganda, actually was released yesterday. You can pick it up on Amazon.com, or you can go to michaellucas.com or lucasentertainment.com to go ahead and get your copies of that. Michael, I'm just going to claim ignorance here. It wasn't until the Sochi Olympics was that a documentary called Hunted came out. I believe it's Hunted anyways. And it was up very, very briefly on YouTube. You can only catch the trailers right now. But I was very, very astonished at my ignorance as to the actual condition of the LGBT community in Russia. What has it been like that all the time? I mean, clearly it had to have been.
Well, times changes. It's going from bad to worse to bad to worse. You know, it was never good for gay people in Russia. Never. For example, my time, it was Soviet Union, and it was criminalized. But it was not the law. I mean, gay people did go to jail during Soviet Union, but there was no such hate towards homosexuals because it was taboo. It was never discussed anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You could only read about it in encyclopedia, you know. But but it was something that was never discussed anywhere. And now, because of the anti-gay laws, and there are many different anti-gay laws right now, though it's not criminalized, but Russian mob is kind of feeling authorized to create violence against homosexuals, always against gay men. And the way they're doing it, and that's the most dangerous part, is the violence. Which is created by Russian mob. They are they're going to gay sites, usually like Grindr, and there are many different other sites that Russian gays are using, and they are posing as another gay person that desires to have sex or to meet, and when the guy is going on that date, he is being met by a group of men and women that are beating him up, humiliating him, filming it all camera, usually pouring urine on their heads, posing, making them pose with dildos next to their mouth, sucking on the bottle, sometimes sticking bottle in their orifices, and then that they upload it on different websites. And they ask them to state their name and the place where they live, and the place they where they go to study. So it's an absolute humiliation. Now, we know about that because the footage is there, because they are proudly documenting it. But they call it educational videos. We don't know is how many gay guys actually actually being trapped in those apartments and being killed. We don't know that. Because not everyone wants to produce the educational video. Some want to beat the person up or kill him just for the sake of killing. because there are a lot of angry people. This law is designed in order to find the new enemy. They're confusing people because the law says for pedophilia, it's against propaganda of pedophilia and homosexuality in one line. Pedophilia,
right,
and homosexuality. So gay people, so Russian people now thinking that homosexuality is the same, is equal to pedophilia, and so homosexuals are a danger to children, are a danger to family, and that society should take precautions against them.
Yeah.
So that is the situation. So Russian mob, Russian people, that's the problem. That they're being so worked up about gays.
Yeah, the group is called Octopi Pedophilia, and when I first saw some of the footage and stuff, it really does lend to the possibility that some of these films are not making the airwaves, largely because their victim is actually captured and killed. Some of the clips that I saw. Humiliating, absolutely, not only to the victim themselves, but to the victim's family. That person ends up losing their job in Russia. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very embarrassing to be gay in Russia.
Yeah.
It's very embarrassing. There are no out celebrities. Not one out celebrity. The one semi-famous show host that came out was fired next day.
Wow.
So there are no openly gay people.
But yet parts of Russia actually seem to accept American gays. Like Johnny Weir, I feel, I've read somewhere that he's considered to be the gay Liberace, and that Russia welcomes him and everything like that, which I
they
find
don't
is
welcome
ludicrous,
them
but
as gay men. They welcome them as celebrities that are not shying away from Russia.
Right.
So whoever is coming to Russia is considered to be a person who likes Russia. So it's always good if someone comes in, unless it is someone like Madonna or Lady Gaga who are so vocally pro-gay.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise than that, you know, Johnny Weir's come in and he's a, you know, Russian friend of Russia, and talks
mm-hmm.
very well about Russia. It's good for Russians. They don't I mean, he's like Liberace in the Liberace days, because, you know, everyone kind of knew that Liberace is gay, but no one talked about it. And whenever
right.
someone talked about it, then Liberace sued them. Liberace sued, I think, British tabloids and won back in the days. So, you know, he's not coming as a gay man. He's coming as a celebrity. You know,
that's true. That protecting
just
his,
like
protecting his celebrity, yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little.
Celebrity,
yeah.
They're not
well,
making a deal that we have a gay person coming here. They're not saying that. You know, they're saying this is a guy from the West who really loves Russia. Johnny, do you like Russia? Yes. Isn't it the best country in the world? Yes, it is. So that's what he's doing.
Well, I mean, let him enjoy Russia. I found him wearing the Russian uniform on Keith Olbermann to be a little insulting, but that's just my
two cents. Terribly insulting.
There
is,
yeah.
It's terribly
absolutely.
Insulting. Russian uniform never did anything good, well, since the Second World War, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about Nikolai Alexeyev, too. A long-term LGBT supporter and stuff. He was the chief organizer of Moscow Pride, and now kind of changing his tune a little bit with regard to the current situation in Russia. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's very simple. You know, they obviously, Kremlin decided to find the advocate, the gay advocate, for their policies. It was very important for them to have Olympics going without the glitch, and they were kind of caught in their own trap, because they introduced those laws right before Olympics. They thought that nobody in the West will care about gay people, and so they decided to go to the most prominent gay
a gay advocate, to gay leader, and asked him, probably they gave him money, that's what I would guess, to speak well about Putin and about the new laws. And that's what he did. That's what he did. They just bought him, you know, and bought him enough to say, hey, you know, to the West, back off.
Yeah.
Look, our, you know, opposition leader, our, you know, gay leader of Russia, the most prominent Russian gay, is saying, telling you to back off. And he was telling that the West is can only harm Russian gays. So that was a very, very clever move by Kremlin.
Yeah.
It was a very clever move by Kremlin. It's good that I was that I actually called him out on that. I think I wrote an article for Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for Advocate. And he was, and after that, he really showed everyone his true face. He called Advocate editors a bunch of Zionists and Jews, and said, and then he told horrible, he said horrible things about the West, and no one in the West after that ever considered him to be important or relevant. So he basically, it was a absolute political suicide for him. He, from being very, very, from being very prominent and important and influential, he became absolutely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was also, I believe he was the one that suggested that the situation in Russia was really no big deal. It was the West that was making a big deal out of it.
That's what, exactly, and that's what he was told by Kremlin to do, because his rhetoric changed in one overnight, basically, because from he was always going to the Western organization for money, for help, for support. He was suing Russia in European court in for violating human rights. So overnight, 180 degrees change. Suddenly, his best friends in the West are a bunch of Zionists, in his own words, that are trying to put the influence on Russia and making everything just really bad, and that they should stop telling Russia what to do and how, and to Russian gays how to live their life.
Yeah.
You know, it happened really overnight. I mean, there is no other explanation than this very old trick, like that Kremlin did already before, which is paying him money, paying the person money. They did it before with Russian Jews. They needed Russian Jews, Soviet Jews, during the Soviet Union. They used Soviet Jews to criticize Israel. So they formed anti-Zionist committee of Russian Jews. Famous Jews were always on this committee talking about how horrible the West is, how horrible American Zionists are, how horrible American Jewish community is, how horrible Israel is. So they were always making Jews advocate Russian anti-Semitic policies. And so the same thing they're doing with the West. They decided, okay, we're going to take the Russian LGBT leader, LGBT activist, and we will turn him into our puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. But, you know, I'm very proud that I wrote that article in Advocate, and I'm very happy that he got so angry and that he started just calling me a dirty Jew, and publishers of Advocate, a bunch of dirty Zionist digs. And that was great because no one wanted to talk to him after that, you know?
Yeah, and it always sells more magazines. That's for damn sure if someone comes out like that. You're always consistently rocking the boat, and I appreciate that of you. I want to ask you something, though, about the Russian population. Do the individual citizens of Russia actually do believe in hating homosexuals as much as their as much as the Kremlin wants them to, or are they just basically so scared to form their own opinion that they'll just go along for fear of intimidation?
Oh no, it's absolutely so. 85%, 86% of Russians are in full support of those laws.
Really?
86% of Russians. So that's, I think that number speaks for itself.
Yeah. That's very, very sad.
So, yeah, and I think the rest, which is a very small percentage, this is like gays.
Yeah.
And,
you know, let me ask
some
you.
Some intellectuals that are lesbian.
Absolutely. Is it the same situation for lesbians? Are they living in fear as much as the gay male?
Well, they're not in the same fear because you never would see a video where a lesbian is being beaten up, right?
So
it's always gay men that are the target.
Yeah.
Just like all over the world, lesbians are less in the danger. Just like in Muslim countries, it's always gay men that are being executed, saying like all these gay men that are... Well, of course, we shouldn't forget that... Russian LGBT leaders are being beaten up. Women, lesbians are being beaten up whenever they go to the protest. Usually, the protest consists of 20 activists, and then they're being beaten up by the crowd, and then taken away by police and put into jail for a day or two. And they are lesbians there, of course, you know. And Russian men are not shy. Homophobes are not shy of beating up the women.
Yeah. Very, very sad.
Yeah,
I'm
telling you, Russians are not very friendly and not very nice people. They're very dark, and they're very aggressive, and they are just, you know, it's. I don't have really nice, warm words about Russians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's people who never smile.
I think you'll agree with this, too. I think living under oppression for so many years, so many generations, I'll even go as far as to say,
it's very little to smile about. No, it's not true. Let's take Cuba. This is a communist, oppressive regime as it can be. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Cuba. They smile. They're very happy people.
Right.
They look at you and they smile. Well, how's about people in Africa? I was about people.
Yeah, you know, you're
South
very
America,
right.
It's genetically, I think, and it's culturally. You know, people do live under the regime, and yet they are friendly, and they're nice. They might have different political views. You know, but Russians are very unfriendly, and Russians are very macho, and Russians hate everything what is different.
Yeah.
And that's something always to remember. They don't like anything what is different. So, of course, homosexuals are, you know, people they hate.
Yeah. Well, and again, you are the person that pioneers different. I read someplace, too, that you're returning to no condom sex on screen, which I'm thinking is only largely due to the current situation with PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is really quite a ballsy move, Michael.
It's complicated, even for me.
Yeah.
Look, the thing is that money do play a big part here, because I'm not willing to lose my company that I started in 1998 and worked half of my life for. I'm not willing to lose it because gay men made a choice and the industry made a choice. I go with a flow. And I'm not willing, like any, you know, when you know what your customers want, any business give customers what they want. And every business trying to find out what customers want, we know that customers want condomless sex.
Right.
Now, I tried to hold for as long as I could. But now, overwhelming majority of porn is done, produced without condoms. I can guarantee you that the leftover studios that are still doing condoms will go into bareback within the next year.
Right.
Now, And that's because customers do not want to see condoms any longer. If that will be different, then I probably will still produce films with condoms. People that can afford PrEP or who has medical insurance, they should get gay men that can afford PrEP or can have medical or who have that have medical insurance should be taking PrEP. And by the way, medical insurances do cover PrEP. My insurance covers 100% covers PrEP, 100%. I don't even have to pay copay because, I don't have to pay even copay.
Wow.
All you have to do is your insurance information, and they take copay off. And today, of course, there is a different world. It's not a death sentence. HIV, it doesn't go to AIDS if you treat it. There are different ways to protect it. That is why the Disease Control Organization is not just recently changed its rhetoric. So sex without condoms is no longer being considered unprotected sex. Now it's called sex without condoms.
Right.
Before it used to be unprotected sex. And that's because there are other ways to protect yourself. For example, you can take PrEP. Also, if your partner is HIV positive but is taking HIV medication and his viral load is his viral load is under control, if he's becoming undetectable, and that's what the drugs do, then he cannot pass HIV to his partner. That's why HIV statuses do not use condoms any longer. Many of them do not use condoms any longer because that is science. But the data is you cannot pass HIV if you are undetectable to the HIV negative partner. HIV positive partner cannot pass HIV, cannot infect with HIV his negative partner if he is undetectable. And that is a great thing.
It's a great thing, and it's one little pill a day you take. I don't know why more people aren't going ahead and utilizing it. A good friend of mine, David Jacobs, actually is a very, very strong advocate for it in New York. So he's working nonstop on the education of PrEP and Truvada. So it's
a year from now, everybody will be on Truvada, all gay people. But there are very dark people. Listen, there are people who believe in 9/11 conspiracy. There are people who believe that there is no HIV and it's invented. There are a lot of people who believe that pharmaceutical companies came up with PrEP that doesn't work and just trying to get the money. No, it's called the progress. It's called the progress. And we finally found the drug that actually prevents this. Keeps you safe from contracting HIV. So there is not one case registered for all these years that that Truvada is around, that PrEP is around, because the trial started many years ago. There's not one case when there was a transmission of HIV to the person who is taking PrEP on a daily, regular basis. Not one.
Wow.
You know, so there are all these people who are running around, screaming, yelling, what would happen if someone forgets to take a pill? Well, what if you're crossing the road and you will be hit by the car? You know, the important
exactly
thing here
right.
is, the important thing here is, I mean, suddenly everybody starts, I mean, people start getting so careful. I mean, you know, what would happen if, you know, I mean, the important thing that we have a pill that protects you from contracting HIV. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, if the person is taking it regularly or, you know, if he's skipping that, that's a different question.
Yeah. No, it's important to go ahead and utilize the science that's out there, and it definitely is a big, big thing right now in the gay men community. Michael, we're running out of time. Michael's new film, Campaign of Hate, Russia and Gay Propaganda, is now available on Amazon.com as well as www.michaellucas.com and www.lucasentertainment.com. Michael, this has been a true delight chatting with you. Again, a big
fan.
And I'm so very happy that you're out there fighting the good fight for everybody and doing what you feel is right. I think it's definitely very, very welcome. So hats off to you, my friend. I really appreciate being in a world with you in it.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Cool beans. Next time, actually, Mike, if you've got anything else in the hopper coming down, remember that At Home with Victoria is your home, too. Stop by and catch us up on what you're working on, okay?
Thank you so much, guys. You have a good night.
Thank you so much. That was Michael Lucas once again. His new film, Campaign of Hate, actually was released yesterday, the first. It's called Campaign of Hate, Russia and Gay Propaganda. Check it out at Amazon.com. That's another edition of At Home with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. I hope you enjoy the show. As to Victoria, I hope you're having fun where you are, ma'am. And as to all of you, have a great night. Good night.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.